John Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where the Israel-Hamas war began exactly 1 month ago. Pentagon correspondent Cammy McCormick has our top story.
Israeli forces claim they took out a top Hamas stronghold in northern Gaza. In the meantime, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will have overall security responsibility in Gaza for an indefinite period. The Palestinian death toll, according to the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza, has now surpassed 10,000.
It's election day in the U.S., and polls have just opened in the East. In Ohio, a key issue is abortion. Ballot issue one asks if the right to the procedure should be guaranteed in the state constitution. Gabriel Mann with the group Ohioans United for Reproductive Freedom believes it should be.
We're not taking anything for granted. It's going to be an incredibly tight race, huge turnout, but it's going to come right down to the wire.
In Kentucky, a Republican is challenging the incumbent, hoping to become the state's first black governor. American University political analyst Amy Dacey.
He's campaigned in all of the 82 counties. He's been endorsed by Benny Thompson and Morgan Freeman.
I'm Jim Crisula. Kentucky Democratic Governor Andy Beshear is seeking a second term, facing off against a former law firm partner, Republican Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, in one of the nation's most closely watched off-year elections. Cameron has criticized Beshear's pandemic restrictions, while Beshear has accused his challenger of trying to stoke divisions with an emphasis on transgender and social issues.
Mississippi's Republican Governor Tate Reeves hopes to fend off a challenge by Democrat Brandon Presley, who is Elvis' second cousin. A day after combative testimony on the stand at his civil fraud trial in New York, former President Trump is looking ahead to next year's election. A new CBS News poll finds 34% of Republican primary voters like him even more because of his legal challenges. CBS News Deputy Director of Elections Kabir Khanna.
We don't see evidence that the spate of recent legal hearings and trials have made many Republicans more concerned that Trump would be a liability in the general election.
Supreme Court hears arguments today on a federal law that makes it a crime for people under restraining orders for domestic violence to have access to guns. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The court ruled in the last Second Amendment case that gun restrictions must be rooted in American history. Disallowing men who abuse their wives and girlfriends from owning guns was never a priority in the 19th century.
Dow futures down 104. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Milwaukee nonprofit has to return $800,000 of COVID relief money after it was found that the money was misused. CRC Employment and Entrepreneurial Services was awarded nearly $3 million in total. Some of that money was spent on an over $2,000 bowling party and paychecks to founder Cynthia Brown and her family. The organization also paid nearly $7,000 to State Senator Lena Taylor for work she did as an attorney. Taylor denies ever receiving any money. The group has 45 days to return the money. Republicans will have a top-tier candidate for U.S. Senate in a month or two. That's according to Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming. He says that Tammy Baldwin is not guaranteed re-election. Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler says he expects that Republican to be Madison businessman Eric Hovde. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Brewers owner not happy with Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell deciding to accept an offer to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs, paying Counsell $8 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in baseball history. Now, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio let reporters know he was disappointed, saying, quote, Craig has lost us and our community. The next time Craig Counsell will be in AmFam Field is next May when the Cubs come to town to play the Brewers. NBA, the Bucks picked up a win in Brooklyn, beating the Nets 129. 109-125. Giannis Antetokounmpo leading Milwaukee with 36 points and 12 rebounds. Men's college basketball, the Badgers beating Arkansas State 105-76 at the Kohl Center. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
I think defensively we got better at the start of the second half. It's not helpful when you got your more experienced guys on the bench in foul trouble, but I thought our guys off the bench gave us a great boost. We've thought that depth would help us, and then here we are in game one, and it already showed.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and
Here's
the Civic Media
forecast
app.
On the Shaw. 48 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 42. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow, high of 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. It's a Tuesday, November 7th, 1 year until elections in Wisconsin for president, for U.S. Senate, maybe the entire Wisconsin legislature, depending on a court case. And so we'll talk to Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, later this hour about the way that in these unprecedented times, so many Americans, so many folks in Wisconsin are already getting active to ensure democracy is defended in 2024. We'll visit with Chad Holmes, who has the show following this one on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm sure we will talk about the news that Craig Council jumped ship and is going to manage the division rival Chicago Cubs for reasons he'll have to explain some other day. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call or text us your feelings about Craig Council leaving for the Cubs, about elections, including the ones going on today in Ohio, Kentucky, Virginia, and a few other key states, or whatever else is on your mind. You can also comment on our Facebook pages. We are on the Facebook pages of Civic Media, of Up North News, of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, of the Tap FM in Chippewa Falls, and also the Up North News YouTube page. So many ways to follow us if you can't follow us on your local Civic Media radio station. Greg Bach is in Waukesha as well. And as I'm looking at the social media highlights for Up North News right now, I am left with the question of what do you do with your leftover pumpkins, depending on where you live. Now, for us, it's easy. We live on a kind of a larger, higher bank over Lake Wissota, so we can just kind of roll our pumpkins down and, you know, they kind of smash against the tree and they, you know, kind of become organic right there. But what about you? What do you do with your pumpkin?
We let it sit there for a while and then we just throw it out. Nothing too exciting
You just throw it in the garbage.
Yep. That did.
Yep. Just the garbage can.
We live in a suburb, so we can't, there's no hills to roll.
There's no pumpkin chucking contest or anything.
No.
Okay. There's a note here from a farm in Mukwonago on our Up North News feed. You can see video of, you can donate your pumpkins as long as they're not painted, to this farm that feeds them to the cattle, and it shows all the animals just gobbling them up like candy. So, you know, that pumpkin can go someplace where it can make a difference on, you know, somebody's buffet because none of us eat actual pumpkin. We think we eat pumpkin pie. That's not actual. You're eating a lot of nutmeg and sugar and whatever else. But
yeah.
if you ever had to eat real pumpkin, you'd swear you were being waterboarded, you know, at the time. Also on the social media feed is a note about Craig Council, and it said, this is one of our fill in the blanks. Craig Council going to manage the Cubs makes me feel blank. And the very first comment from a guy named Matthew says, "Wait, let me go grab some popcorn. I'm a Cubs fan." So he
that's what I don't like is all my Cubs friends are.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh yeah. Dan Schumacher, who's on here on Fridays, you know, from the Chicago area, sent all he sent right away when the news came down was "Go Cubs, go." And I just sent back "No Cubs, no." You know.
Oh, I sent emojis that I can't repeat here.
I'll bet you did. D wrote under our Up North News Facebook post about this. "Sick and betrayed. I thought he would stay with the team. Shocked. Was ready for the fact that he might leave for the Mets," wrote Kathy, "but the Cubs is like a betrayal, especially since he grew up in Milwaukee." Barbara says something that you and I kind of latched onto. "I would like to know the whole story." And, you know, specifically like what was offered, what was the attitude, what was the outlook for the front office, you know, making investments so that Craig would be willing to stay. We've got "Betrayed" by Laura. Lana writes "mad." Rich puts "betrayed." Tracy puts angry. Chris V puts "cheated on." And then finally, Wendy Lee puts "no biggie."
All right, Wendy.
Which is always that nice reminder I need that, yeah. You know, it's sports, you know.
Oh, that's right. I don't play for the Brewers. That's right.
Yeah, they don't care what millionaire athletes don't care what we think.
Exactly.
Sometimes we need that little reminder now and then. If you haven't followed it in the news here, let's unpack some of the story about Donald Trump being on trial. And we've discussed how, again, this is not a trial to determine if his business committed fraud. That's already been determined. He did that. And again, not the world's biggest surprise. It's kind of his move is to inflate his value. This part is to lead to a determination of the penalty. But before they can determine the penalty, they need to know all of these fraudulent business records, how much of that fraud was committed by Trump ordering various minions from his kids to his accountants and so on to put in false information, or, as he often claims, it's somebody else's fault. You know, I just looked at the document, but, you know, somebody else is doing it. For folks who thought once upon a time that Donald Trump was unique and shiny and new and not a typical politician, his conduct at this trial should reinforce the fact that none of that is true anymore, and that this is exactly why people don't like politicians, because politicians far too often act like the rules don't apply to them, that they're above the law, especially the rich politicians, you know, who have that feeling like, you know, taxes are for the little people and so are rules. If you and I engaged in activity that would inflate our assets in order to get more in loans than we would normally get, or deflate the value of your assets in order to avoid taxes, you and I would get in trouble, and deservedly so. That's why we have the rule of law. That's why we have laws in the first place. And when some people skirt out on the rules, or they skirt out on paying their taxes, that should not be as much an indictment of the system, the way they want you to believe, as it should be an indictment of the cheaters. And you heard Trump lots of times yesterday rely on the fact that a lot of these documents, these financial documents, have disclaimers saying, well, there's a disclaimer on there that says in so many words, this may not necessarily be true. And look, we have all signed things, usually signing, you talk about signing your rights away or your life away before you, you know, I don't know, go on a zip line or engage in some other activity. And believe me, there are enough lawyers out there who've made a pretty good industry out of fighting back against those disclaimers and whether they in fact absolve somebody of their responsibility. And Trump has gotten away with this for a long, long time, of blaming other people and relying on legalese and disclaimers. But it may not work this time. The media reports are still a little frustrating because they describe him as, you know, combative and, you know, a very, they paint a picture of a very proud man. This is also a guy who was asked about something happening in the year 2021, and he said he was busy being president about this or that, and he had to be reminded he wasn't president in 2021. And yet, if that had happened to Joe Biden, that's what would lead the newscast. Joe Biden doesn't know what year it is. But as Donald Trump continues to say these things that are wrong or out of touch, rambling and incoherent, all we're really hearing is, you know, that all of his supporters love him. Of course, his supporters do. But then you got to appeal to the large swath of the middle. And do we really think, despite negative feelings currently about Joe Biden, that people are going to fall in love with Donald Trump all over again? I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. And we're going to talk to Ben Wickler about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. 7 o'clock temperatures across Wisconsin include 39 degrees up here on Lake Wasota. Hayward comes in at 35. In Park Falls, it's 31 degrees. Green Bay is reporting 38. La Crosse, 43. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 35 degrees. Oshkosh, 42. Madison, 42. And Waukesha, 41. All told, you know, about 10, 12 degrees cooler than where we were yesterday. Clouds, by and large, were the rule of the day. Let's see how these clouds and these temperatures are going to fare as we head into midweek here with meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology with the details of today's forecast. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like cloud cover for all today. And as you mentioned, a little bit cooler overall compared to yesterday. Highs in the 40s for nearly everyone. A little warmer, low to mid-50s from Madison and through southwestern Wisconsin. Looks like a chance for rain for everyone tonight. Around Wausau, though, it looks like there may be a chance for some sleet mixing in with that tonight. So definitely something to keep in mind over there. Wednesday, it looks like a chance for rain across the board. Not much of a difference with the high temperatures compared to today. Around 50, low 50s for southern Wisconsin and 40s for everyone north of Richland Center. A dry second half of the work week for all. Sunny on Thursday for most, becoming mostly cloudy here around Wausau. Otherwise, highs in the upper 40s to low 50s from Richland Center through Madison and over towards Milwaukee. Mid to low 40s from Oshkosh through central Wisconsin and over towards Amory and Baldwin. Friday, it looks like sunny skies for southern Wisconsin. Cloudy, though, for everyone else. Upper 30s expected for Amory and Baldwin over towards Wausau, then lingering in the 40s for everyone else. And then a sneak peek at the weekend. Saturday, a high-pressure system will be in control, so temperatures won't be too different from Friday. Sunshine expected across the board and lingering in the 40s for everyone.
It seems like just a couple of weeks ago, the 40s would have been horrendous news and caused us all to, you know, reach for the flannel. And now, after that little taste of teens and 20s, that 40s is very doable for the rest of this week, which shouldn't surprise us for this time of year, I guess, Jennifer. So thank you so much for that forecast. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Let's check some sports now at 7:17 on this Tuesday. The basketball season is underway for the NCAA Badger men's basketball team. They beat Arkansas State 105-76 in a season opener for those two teams Monday night. The Badgers host number 9 Tennessee on Friday. The Marquette men's basketball team opened the season ranked number 5 in the country, and they beat Northern Illinois 92-70 on Monday night. They'll host Rider University of New Jersey on Friday. I don't get into the details of how many points somebody scored or all that about the games because, again, these early season games, Greg, with these college teams are always playing basically, sorry, I know I'm going to offend some people, but, you know, they play cupcake schools. It would be like me starting off the arm wrestling season, you know, you starting off the arm wrestling season, wrestling me with these little twigs, and you just go, okay, that lasted 2 seconds. It's not even worth really talking about, you know? So when we get to the Big Ten season, that might be another matter, but we're not going to talk about Greg Bach, you know, breaking my arm.
What happened here? You brought me.
I was just trying the right analogy for that cupcake part of the schedule, and you know, a big strong fellow like you should be arm wrestling people your own size and not puny little old men like me.
All right, that's correct.
And that's what the you know the Badgers and Marquette and all the big colleges are doing to the 98-pound weaklings out there right now.
Noted.
More headlines after this. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different.
You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
Break that we do every day around 6:50 or so. Forgot to mention before the commercial break, Milwaukee Bucks were winners over the Brooklyn Nets, 129-125. They will play again tomorrow at home against Detroit, and then Thursday at Indiana, Saturday at Orlando, across several Civic Media radio network stations. The Wisconsin legislature gets back into session today. Again, it could be a very productive fall session. Still have that record multi-billion dollar deficit out there. Here's what we're going to get instead. Today, the Senate is going to vote on a proposed constitutional amendment that would bar the closure of places of worship during a health emergency. Because again, and as you may have heard at the national news at the top of the hour, the continued fixation, dare I say obsession, that some people continue to have with the safeguards that were taken up during the early days of the pandemic to keep people from dying. Cannot believe, still have to say this, 3.5 years later, and that people are still worked up over it, saying we need a constitutional amendment so these places can't be closed because we want people mingling together and killing each other. For folks that haven't heard this analogy for some time, but I used to use it all the time in the early days of the pandemic. It's like blackout curtains, you know, and the German bombers are coming over, or Japanese bombers in World War II. And imagine living on one of the coasts and you're all doing your part and you're using your blackout curtains. You're turning out your lights to make it tougher for somebody to kill you. And then you've got your neighbor over here going, oh, freedom and liberty. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with my windows and my lamps and my lights. And that's still the selfish attitude that some people have. And look, they made strides. They got conservatives on the then conservative-led Wisconsin Supreme Court to throw out many of those pandemic safeguards. And people died as a result. And yet we're still fighting about this. We're fighting about keeping kids from getting infected in school, and maybe they didn't get really sick, but then they came home to grandma or grandpa, and that happened. And yet, this is what's being debated on the floor of the Wisconsin legislature later today. There'll also be 3 constitutional amendments regarding elections, because again, it seems like Republicans can't give up 2020 and looking for ways to make it harder to vote. Then there's a bill that's relating to designating an unborn child as a dependent for income tax purposes. Designating an unborn child as a dependent for income tax purposes. Because again, with the Republicans, it's all about the tax code. We'll give you a tax code. We'll give you a tax break for that fertilized egg of yours. Now, we're not necessarily going to do anything to help feed that zygote once it becomes, you know, a baby human, an infant, a toddler, and a kindergartner. We're not going to help you afford daycare for it. In fact, Greg, it reminded me of a social media post. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think I'll get it pretty much right here. It says, actually, I have it right here, talking about their cat. This cat was the same cat that was completely obsessed with my bump when I was pregnant is quite uninterested in the baby now that she's out. It's a weird way to find out that my cat is a Republican.
That's funny.
Hey, what again, text codes and zygotes are the order of the day in your Wisconsin State Senate. Then over in the Assembly, several bills related to free speech on campus, or what they consider to be free speech on campus, a bill that would guarantee admission to UW campuses for high school students who finish in the top 5% of their class. And this gets us back to that whole notion of state support so that our children can go get an education in Wisconsin and not feel the need to leave the state. And you'll recall that when he was governor, Governor Jim Doyle had a program. I can't recall if it was the Wisconsin Promise or what it was, but basically it was to set up a way that the state would go back to investing as much in higher education as it used to make sure that our young people could attend a UW system school. Now, there are folks who rightfully note that not everybody needs to go to a university or college. They can go to a tech college or some other trade school. And those things are great too. They really are. We should look all over for ways to make education more accessible. Now, oftentimes that just means more financial aid, but that investment always pays off handsomely. When you invest in educating and training your young people and you keep them here, they more than pay that back in what they contribute to the local economy with a higher income than they otherwise would, leaving the state and leaving you getting nothing. So if that's what the assembly bills are doing today, then that's fine. But if it's too cute by half and looking for ways to basically only help, you know, the people whose family already has means to afford tuition, well, then they're not doing us any good. And we'll be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith on tomorrow's program. Hopefully it's a very busy week of committee meetings and floor sessions, but we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire tomorrow about what's happening in the legislature today. It looks like Mark from the SAC is on the line here. So, Mark, I don't know which of my many headlines you want to get into, but tell us more. Good morning.
Brad Schimming mentioned, because he's now bragging about the top tier candidate the Republicans are going to have for Senate. I go, Brian Schimming, I should say. He was on Cheese Bros' mailing list on the fake electors thing, to, you know, part of the whole conspiracy to violate the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, as well as Wisconsin's Constitution, and for this making fertilized eggs dependent on your taxes. I noticed that none of those Republicans are proposing any kind of making sure that women get adequate prenatal care of the during their pregnancy, or postnatal care of their infants. Making sure that all these children are whole and healthy and well fed and actually able to enjoy things. That it just kind of makes me want to upchuck.
not surprising. And thankfully, and thank you, Mark, for bringing that to our attention, because it lets me dovetail into one other concern here. And that is about, child care. And again, the lack of any Republican effort to take child care seriously. And for whatever reason, the Washington Post has really seized on this and has had two big stories in the past few days about child care in Wisconsin. And the number of child care providers looking at closing because a pandemic era relief program is expiring, and state legislators, Republican state legislators, aren't willing to use a record budget surplus to fund it, and instead are really trash talking women who dare want to have jobs while they have children as well. So if you want to learn more about that, you should be a subscriber to the Washington Post, or go look for free versions of the articles and look for a couple of different articles about, you know, how underpaid childcare workers are trying to get the message out. America needs them. And they truly do. More with State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler after this. You're up north.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. 1 month into the Israel-Hamas war, Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel would agree to what he calls little pauses in the fighting. The U.S. National Security Council's John Kirby.
We still believe in the value of temporary humanitarian pauses, again, localized for specific purposes to get things in and to get people out, including hostages.
Polls are open in Ohio this election day, where voters are deciding whether to place the right to abortion in the state's constitution. Mehek Cook's group, Protect Women Ohio, is opposed.
Issue one goes past Roe v. Wade, and it's too radical. It eviscerates parental consent.
The Supreme Court hears arguments today on domestic violence gun curbs. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The court will ask whether or not a federal law that prevents those subject to domestic violence restraining orders from possessing guns is constitutional under the Second Amendment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin is out with a $32 million workforce development plan. It's the system's attempt to recover money Republicans cut from state universities in the state budget. The budget lets the universities recover the money if it's spent on workforce development and not diversity efforts. Republicans are also holding up pay raises for faculty and staff until Wisconsin universities cut diversity spending. State lawmakers considering spending taxpayer money on American Family Field have some more to think about after taking a tour of the Brewers Stadium. The bill that passed the assembly would spend more than $500 million in public money. But for now, there aren't enough votes to pass the Senate. Governor Evers says he would sign a bill if it were to pass in the legislature. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 48 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 42. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow, high of 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. UK.
Again, Joni Mitchell's birthday today. You can catch all of our birthdays as part of our daily history lesson around 6:50 in the mornings. All right, 1 year to go until the presidential election, and there's going to be a big Senate election in Wisconsin as well. It's election day in some states across the country that could also tell us some interesting things. So here to learn more about what's happening both outside and inside our borders, all things election day related, we bring in the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. Ben, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Great to be with you, Pat. Great to be with you, Greg. I'm excited to be with Up North News this morning because I was just up north. I was traveling all through every corner of Wisconsin, and I know folks across our state are listening right now, but we are 1 year out from a giant election, and voters in every square inch of this state are going to have enormous power over this next year to shape the future of American democracy. So I'm very excited to be with you this morning.
We were talking to the ladies from Motherhood for Good yesterday about, you know, their group getting people energized and organized with 1 year to go. And they, of course, told us the reasons why, you know, busy parents should care, why they should be engaged. But it's not just them. I mean, it's everywhere. And look, it could be a function of many things, you know, Trump or Biden or the economy or whatever. But let me ask you about it. Why in years past, people would say, oh, 1 year to go to the election. I don't want to hear about that yet. Why are so many people saying, yeah, 1 year to go, fire up, let's go. What is it about it?
I think in Wisconsin, maybe more than other places, we vividly understand that the fundamental freedoms that should be the birthright of every American, that should be a guarantee for anyone who's a citizen here, those freedoms are under attack, and we could lose them if we don't organize and fight for them. And when you think about what's happened in Wisconsin this year, this spring we had a Supreme Court election where the Republican candidate, the Republican-backed candidate, officially a nonpartisan race, had been involved in the plot to try to overturn the 2020 election and was a giant proponent of the statewide total abortion ban that was passed in 1849. And Wisconsinites rejected Dan Kelly and elected Janet Protasiewicz. And then Republicans in the state legislature this fall decided that they would try to stop her from doing her job by threatening to impeach her if she didn't recuse herself, refuse to actually do her job and consider the cases before her. And so we first had to win an election, and then we had to stop Republicans from overturning and nullifying the election. And the grassroots pressure stopped them from doing that. But I think it made vivid for all of us across our state that if you want the freedom to choose your own leaders instead of having leaders who choose themselves, you need to be on all the time. And so with 1 year out, as we look at the fight for the House and Senate majorities and the White House and the possibility of working for a state legislative majority under new maps, which the Supreme Court might deliver, that's a very, very significant both responsibility, but also opportunity for Wisconsinites to make a change for the better. Here in Wisconsin, you just can't ignore it because it is in your face every day.
The abortion issue, especially since the Dobbs decision, of course, has been a motivating factor. It will continue to be. That's a fairly easy prediction to make. But I'm going to nitpick just a bit with some of the coverage of it. Something I heard on one of the cable channels this morning, as they were talking about, you know, midterms and President Biden's popularity numbers. And this particular person said, excuse me, this cable commentator said, Democrats hope the abortion issue continues to motivate voters. And that really hit me the wrong way, that Democrats aren't hoping the abortion issue hits with voters. Democrats are fighting to protect fundamental rights. And that has nothing to do with hoping for voter turnout. What's your own sense of framing the issue of women's health care rights to voters, especially over the next year in Wisconsin?
I share your frustration with the idea that a lot of folks in the media kind of describe this as, you know, a political wedge issue. This is a fundamental freedom that has been ripped away from half the population. And I just want to say for men too, if you're at most abortions in this country are sought by women who've already had kids. Families everywhere need access to reproductive care, especially folks who have high-risk pregnancies. The knowing that you will be safe if something goes terribly wrong That's the kind of thing that allows you to sleep more soundly at night. It's so basic and fundamental. And I wish that this issue weren't on the table, because I wish that everyone had the freedoms that everyone should be guaranteed and protected by our Constitution. But the reality is that those freedoms are under attack. We have a House Speaker in the United States House of Representatives who's advocated for a national abortion ban. And until we make sure that people like him don't have the power to put a ban like that in place, this is going to be an enormous live issue. If we could go back to the world where we're arguing about what the top marginal tax bracket should be, that'd be great from my perspective. Republicans want tax cuts for the rich. Progressives want tax cuts for the middle class and want to make sure the rich pay their fair share. That's the kind of debate that, you know, politics, of course, is supposed to be about. But the idea that some people should be less than, that they should not have the freedom to make their own decisions about their own bodies, that is something that should be in the dustbin of history, not a present day debate in American politics.
It is a fundamental issue that is top of mind for many families, as are many economic issues. And we're going to come back to those in a second. Most people aren't into the weeds of politics. And people will say, Pat, why are you going to talk about process? You'll understand why as we go there. Between abusing the impeachment process and abusing the nominating process so that Republicans could fire Governor Evers' appointees, abusing the rules process to block UW pay raises, the constant attack on voting rights, and the efforts to nullify an election or weaken or eliminate the Wisconsin Elections Commission. To me, Ben, just reinforces something Governor Evers said at the end of last year, that you're facing a Republican Party that is downright hostile to democracy, something I didn't think we'd have to deal with in our time. But do you even try to convey those things, or is that simply insiders like me and voters really just want you to focus on what's on the kitchen table?
Well, the conventional wisdom in politics is that process always loses. And I think in general, people want to know, is government going to look out for them, or is it going to be attacking them? Which politician actually has their back and understands them? But there's a line. And when you're trying to overturn elections and you're trying to deprive people of their fundamental right to vote and you're trying to smash the basic constitution of our society, it does become a voting issue. And we've seen that over and over in our state. We saw that in 2022 in the governor's race, the attorney general's race. We saw it in the Supreme Court race. We saw it in the uprising against the impeachment threat this fall. And if you look at polling in Wisconsin, there's a real gap between how people perceive Donald Trump and Joe Biden when it comes to the issue of democracy. I think this is a live issue in Wisconsin, and I think it's because it's connected so viscerally and clearly to other things that people want, like abortion. Republicans, the only way they think that they can get away with ripping away reproductive freedom from half the population is if they think that democracy is broken enough that the public can't restore that freedom by voting them out of office. So these things are in a sense, part of the same big fight. And we are going to fight on all those fronts going forward. And we know that Republicans in this state, the kind of MAGA wing of the GOP and Republican leaders like Robin Voss, they are not just willing, but eager to trample our democracy if it can give themselves more power. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And we're going to stop them.
I, of course, have been adamant about people not taking Senator Tammy Baldwin's reelection for granted because, frankly, nobody knew who Ron Johnson was until he showed up at the Republican State Convention, 5 months before the 2010 election. Do you have concerns, though, that until there's an actual, name and a face with big Republican support behind them, that, people will say, Tammy doesn't need my help?
I'm so glad that you're advocating for keeping an eye on this, because the GOP candidates, there's two mega wealthy Republicans in the mold of Ron Johnson, but wealthier, frankly. They're following Ron Johnson's exact playbook, not announcing the year before the election, keeping their resources close to the chest and avoiding public scrutiny. You have a guy like Eric Hovde, who's a California bank owner. He was rated one of Orange County, California's most influential citizens 2 years in a row. But he's talking about moving back to Wisconsin and trying to buy himself a Senate seat. So we have started, and we need to keep the pressure on. That race cannot be overlooked, and it's critical to the U.S. Senate majority in 2024.
We've talked a few times here about issue one in Ohio and whether voters today will protect the fundamental right to abortion. But we also know there are big elections in Kentucky, Virginia, and elsewhere. Obviously, you watch those as a state party chair. What are you expecting to see, or how are you going to interpret the results, both good or bad, or do you have good feelings about the outcomes on some of these races already?
So I think tonight we're going to get a sense of whether the split screen in American politics we've seen all year, and frankly the last several years, will continue. And by that I mean there's poll after poll that says that people are disengaged, that people are fed up, that they hate both parties and they're sick of all the candidates, and voter turnout will be low, and Trump has an edge in 2024 because of that disgust. But then when people actually go to the ballot box, over and over, they overperform for Democrats. More people turn out than were expected. More people vote for the Democratic or the progressive position than the pundits thought was possible, even more than the polls thought. And, there have been times like 2020 and 2016 when the polls inaccurately thought that Trump was doomed and said that he was going to lose in a landslide, and it was incredibly close, and he won in 2016. Well, in the last year, the shoe's been on the other foot. And the big question is tonight, will this be a doom and gloom night, which is what you'd expect if all you do is read the national polling? Or will tonight be a night when Ohioans put their foot down for reproductive freedom, when voters in Virginia say no to Glenn Youngkin and the extremists in their part in the Republican Party in that state, and win Democratic majorities in both chambers of the state legislature, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court race, the Kentucky governor's race, the Mississippi governor's race, even. That's where you'd expect a Republican landslide. That might not happen tonight when the polls close. And I will be keeping an eye on that to really gauge what is the fire in the belly that the Democrats are feeling across the country. And we will fold that directly into our work here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. It was Joe Zepecki last week that was telling us, keep your eye on Mississippi and this second cousin of Elvis. This might be something to watch, win or lose, strong showing by him. So I think the last thing I want to hit is has nothing to do with Republican politicians. Well, a little bit, but mostly our friends and neighbors who tend to vote Republican, who consider themselves conservative, and the whole notion of whether they feel politically homeless right now because they see what Trump has done. They saw January 6th and everything like that. And the ones that say, well, but that's still where my base values are, so I'm going to vote Republican anyway. What is the message that you deliver to everyday Wisconsinites who feel a little disconnected from the Republican Party they used to know?
Well, at this point, the Democratic Party is the big tent party. There are conservative-leaning Democrats, very progressive Democrats, centrists, everywhere in between. And the Republican Party has become the party of MAGA extremism. And I think there are a lot of people who are kind of traditional Republicans who still find themselves casting ballots for Republicans, holding their nose in many cases, trying to ignore what the people who lead their party are trying to do in their name. And my hope, my invitation to folks, is to take a good look over this next year. This weekend, we had 425 door-to-door canvasses across Wisconsin where Democrats were knocking on doors, not of strong Democrats, but of people who may have voted Republican in the past, people who may be undecided, to have exactly this conversation, to ask people, what are the issues that actually motivate them the most? What do they care the most about? And on those issues, where does each party stand? Where does each party stand on whether you should cut Social Security and Medicare? Where does each party stand on the idea of democracy? Where does each party stand on freedom, which used to be a value that the Republican Party wrapped itself in? Now the Republican Party is banning books across the country and banning abortion and trying to take away basic freedoms that people count on. The party has changed. The Republican Party has changed. And at the Democratic Party, we want to welcome people who want to de-radicalize the GOP. Maybe just vote Democratic for an election or two to teach the MAGA wing of the GOP that they should not be steering their party off a cliff. Let's try to get the Republican Party back to normal so we can have responsible parties debating the issues that matter in people's lives without questioning the very idea that America should be the home of the free.
Yeah, talking to some neighbor friends recently, we just want to go back to having those kinds of debates. And you can't do that when you've got extremists that pulling a party toward the very end of democracy sometimes in their behavior. Ben Wickler, chair of the State Democratic Party, thank you so much for coming in and setting the stage for what's going to be quite a 2024, and we'll be talking in the weeks and months ahead.
so much. Thank you so much, Pat. And thanks to all your listeners.
Thank you, Ben. Have a great day. When we come back, let's see. I see Bob's on the line. Bob, if you want to hang on, we'll find out your question, your comment about 2024, and we'll talk to Chad Holmes, and that's all coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Just a moment about what's coming up on his radio program on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau tomorrow. State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire about the legislative session and things going on this week. And Melissa Baldoff will have our weekly climate check. Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. Bob, if you're still on the line, you called in while I was yapping away with Ben and didn't leave enough time here. But Bob, what's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Pat. I had a question for Ben, actually.
What would you have asked him? And I'll use my psychic powers to guess at the answer.
Well, I just wanted to be observant about the previous election, that all of the seats in the state legislature and the congressional seats were not challenged by the Wisconsin Democratic Party. And I'm wondering if that they challenged this year.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The state was not filled. And I think that played into the role of the loss by Mandela Barnes.
I appreciate that point, Bob. Thank you. And I will, again, not use my psychic power so much. It's not a stretch to say that in a presidential election year, you tend to attract more voters, you tend to attract more candidates than you do in a midterm. And consequently, well, especially with the potential for a redistricting of the entire legislature. I know that people behind the scenes, and I'm sure this is the case in both parties, are getting set to have 99 assembly candidates and 33 state senators that, you know, if we get new maps, every district, not every district's going to be close, but every district's going to be up for grabs. Bob, I appreciate the call. Let's bring in Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio, who's going to tell us a bit about, well, no, we're going to set aside 2024. Let's get back to current events and today's top story, because Greg and I have been going through therapy on this Craig Council matter. You're a day later, you know, where you, I believe you and Greg are both squarely now in the camp of, you know, hanging Mark Adonasio in effigy or something like that. And I'm still over in the, you know, Craig Council. You didn't have to take this particular job. So where are you this morning?
I'm going to brighten things up for you and for everybody out there.
Okay.
I'm going to give a ray of sunshine in this whole story. Yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, when Mark Adonasio went in front of the microphones, we found out that he's one of us. Come on. He is now one of us.
Uh-oh. And a man of the
all
people.
The folks that were saying that he was exactly. He's a true Milwaukeean, Wisconsinite. And also all those folks that were saying that the Brewers might leave for something as silly as money. Obviously, Mark Adonasio, after what he said yesterday, would never leave Milwaukee for anything, you know, like $600 million for the taxpayers now, would he? Because that would be wrong. That's what he was telling us. It was wrong.
So Chad's going to lighten things up.
Craig Council, who now is not one of us anymore.
Chad's going to lighten things up by backing up the semi-truck of sarcasm.
Well, there we go. There is the
dumping it all over Mark. Greg, what's your
Chad,
point?
Well, Chad, I had a question.
Oh, he is one of us.
Chad, I had a question for you. Did he make that? Did he do a press conference from his Los Angeles house or his house in Brooklyn?
Oh boy, yep. That, we are really letting old Craigers off the hook entirely here, aren't we? Are we really, Chad? Are we letting him entirely off the hook for going with the Chicago Cubs versus any other team? Is he really completely faultless on this?
Well, no, he's not completely faultless. But at the same time, when you look at the available jobs, I think the Cubs job, you know, I can't stand the Ricketts. I can't stand the Cubs. I can't stand the way American Family Field is when the Cubs fans come in there.
Amen.
I'm somebody that wishes the Brewers. I wish the Brewers were still in the American League so we never had to see the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't stand it. But if you look at the jobs, boy, Craig Council put himself in, I think, a position to win big. You look at St. Louis now struggling. In a year or two, the Brewers' advantage with pitching is going to go away because the Brewers have proven they will not pay to keep their talent. So, I mean, they want to have the young people that come up there and, you know, use them for 5 or 6 years and then not pay them. You know, Cincinnati's got, I mean, I guess, you know, a little bit of young talent, but boy, and the Cubs have a lot of young talent that's coming up as well, and they have the ability to add to it, much like they did about a decade ago when Madden came. I mean, if you look at the job in order to win big, and I think at this point, and I know that Greg has been tired of just making the playoffs, I bet your Craig Council has been tired of just making the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely, and I personally do not think, as a man who was a Brewer, grew up in Wisconsin, has a house in Wisconsin, I don't think he walked into this deal flipping the middle finger to Milwaukee. I think he went with the best deal with a team that valued his performance and was going to give him the money he wanted. And I was saying, Chad, earlier to Pat, put yourself in Craig Council's shoes. You were offered like $5.5-6 million from the Brewers. You have a history with them. You get them the playoffs. And then you go to another team, they're like, all right, we'll give you $8 million. And the Brewers don't even, like, sweeten the pot? I mean, what at the end of the day?
Chad just got done telling me we got to give that money to pitchers, you know, instead. So,
but the money for the managers don't come out. That's you can make that work. I mean, that's
I know. I'm just needling you guys at this point.
That's a heating bill at one of Mark Antanasio's houses.
Here you go. Again, back to the Chad. Do you have thoughts on managerial candidates at this point, or is it too soon?
No, I understand where you're coming from, Pat. Well,
yeah. What are you thinking about the future for the Brewers here now, as a manager and as a club?
I don't envy the next guy that comes in. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where it's going to be not an easy job, and especially if Council starts coming into Milwaukee and handing the Brewers their hat, you know, every couple of months. You know, if you think back about the previous Brewer managers, not a lot of success. Ken Maka, he kind of came in with some high hopes. He didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Heck, I mean, just, you know, I don't know. I don't expect them to go, you know, big fish hunting for this one. I would be surprised.
And he knows all of our direct weaknesses.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it is going to make those games tough, but you know, it's going to make it tough on him too. Yes, he'll get cheered by all the Cubs fans in the stands, but I just think it's, I mean, he's got to be asking himself more than a few times, are we sure? Am I sure this is really worth it? But if it is, hey, if money can buy you happiness, you know, and a big market, it's all about, again, big markets versus small markets. I get all of that. So now that we've wound up.
I think that's also a cop out at this point. I mean, come on. I mean, the Brewers are making money. You don't think that. They don't show us their books, but they're doing pretty darn well between TV money. I mean, again, I don't have all the details, but a lot of these franchises, before they sell a ticket, are making money. I mean, let's not talk. I don't want to give, it's a small market, so we can't compete. Baloney. We can compete.
Baloney. Chad, I love that.
Chad,
baloney.
Chad will continue this in just mere minutes on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. You can hear it there or on the Civic Media app or the website. Thank you, Chad. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good to see you, Greg. You have a great day as well.
You as well, sir.
And we will do this again tomorrow morning. Earl Ingram up next on many other Civic Media stations. Stephanie Miller in Madison. James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.